Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the Scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the Scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thanks for joining us here tonight on January the 22nd, 2009, for RAM Radio Live, which is the Biblical Alternative. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast. And this is Pastor John Coleman here in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, thanking you for joining us for another webcast here from the West Coast, Los Angeles, California. Just want to thank so many of you that's been writing me and having correspondence with me. And we want to thank you for living up to the Christian standard of the Christian life as we've come into the transition of our 44th president of the United States. You know, we live in a world of professing Christians. But I want to tell you that that true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness, not self-righteousness, but righteousness by their position in Christ. Listen to what I'm saying now and stop playing with me. This is a divine absolutism. You know what I mean by that? That God has absolutely called you to be a Christian, and therefore he makes demands upon your life, your disposition, your attitude, your behavior. This absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone, meaning that everything that we believe, hold to, and affirm is in the Bible. Not our president. He doesn't have to do that because we don't have a Christian president. This is not a Christian country. This is not a Christian environment that we live in. We live in a pluralistic society and country. Now, Enter the Word, RAM Radio, the Biblical Alternative, speaks to those particular absolutes. I'm not speaking about what any other secular organization says. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not even following a group of religious robots that follow other people because they got to have somebody to follow. Enter the Word, as any other true Christian organization or ministry, must look first to God's Word as the highest standard which directs my life, Mark's life, Bob's life, and anybody else that comes in this booth. And if you're not living up to that, you're a liar. I'm a liar. And I challenge any of you to think that I'm a liar to call me a liar to my face, email, call me in the office, cuss me out, do whatever you want to do. I don't care because I'm going to live up to the standard of the Word of God. We can't attempt to minister to other people unless we define who we are by what we believe. Thus, that's what Into the Word is all about. The transition, that's what I'm talking about. The appointment of Mr. Obama as the 44th president of the United States, has it changed your outlook on the Christian faith? Well, that's what we're going to discuss. And I have a few things to share with you as I look into this particular subject matter. As we analyze this particular subject matter, and I hope that you will be able to follow along with me as I go through this with you. But first of all, I'd like to share with you a letter that I received this week since we're talking about the transition. And I want to read this letter. I won't give the person's last name because it's not important to do that. But this letter was so moving and so touching, and it encouraged me because if you read my ode to to Mr. Obama, or if you listen to the Ode to Mr. Obama, you heard what my opinion is of the election, the transition, and all of that. This good sister wrote and said, Pastor John, I am writing to thank you with tears. I listened to your talk about Mr. Obama's election and God's judging will. Then this saint says, I am content with that. However, I'm not writing about that. I am writing to thank you for being faithful to God's word. You see, this person isn't trying to give me props. This person is saying is that it is the word of God which is faithful. He says, we never know as we are going along what impact we may have on someone. And then this person says that they went to the Word Faith movement when they left the Catholic Church. And this person says that they said things that I never knew before, like God heals today and uses people in his gifts and is active in our lives, and he even talks to us. Then this person said that I read his word and he spoke to me himself. Now, in my journey, I have left this man-made movement. Praise God for that. She says, I've left this man-made movement. God has helped and kept me and led me to himself. Then she says, I cry because I have desire to hear the whole truth, void of man's influence. See, that's what I do. That's what Into the Word. That's what Pastor John does. I'm not giving you some denominational influence. I'm not giving you what these other pastors think. I'm not trying to, hey, listen, if Obama is for abortion, then we should be against him. And no, stop it. Stop it. Then this person goes on and says, fellowship is important. Reading God's word is important. But hearing godly comments and reasoning is also important, especially when it feeds the spirit of a man. I want to thank this person for writing this letter. I'll just call her Carolyn. She lives in Walnut Grove, Georgia. She's married to a wonderful husband for 35 years, and she has two wonderful sons. I want to thank you, Carolyn, for that marvelous letter that you wrote me. It really stimulated me. I received other emails from other individuals, and a friend of mine received this email from another friend of his. And in this email, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about how black folk have responded to this transition period. It says, now we can see why the black church is in such a mess. This is why my babies do not want to have anything to do with black guys, this black man wrote, because they think like this too. Black folks have to get over the slave history of this country. And then this brother says that we have to forgive the mistakes and the evil things that happened in the past. This preacher is not saved. He's talking about Joseph Lowry. I'll give you a comment about that. Or he is still a racist. This is the perfect time to lift up Jesus. The whole world was watching, and he blew it. And then this brother says that Rick Warren blew it too.
Yeah, I have that article, that little prayer.
Go ahead and read it, Mark.
At the last of the prayer, he says, let me make sure I get the right part. Let's see. Help us then, Lord, now to work for that day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, when tanks, let me go down to the last part. Lord, in the memory of all the saints who from their labors rest, and in the joy of a new beginning, we ask you to help us work for that day when black will not be asked to get back, when brown can stick around, when yellow will be mellow, when the red man can get ahead, man, and when white will embrace what is right.
Now, let me get some comment on what Joseph Lowry said, and keep this in mind that I am a black pastor, but I know something about human nature. There will always be on this planet people hating other people. Black, yellow, red, brown, green, purple, pink, turquoise, whatever. They will always hate other people. Anyone that is a human being alive on this planet and thinks that this thesis, that this what man is going to change, has to be out of their minds. Earth is not a utopia. Earth is not, nor ever will be, a perfect place. Men are fallen, totally depraved, and we have laws in this country, hopefully, to protect some of us against men that will carry out their hatred. But that so-called prayer was not a prayer, because his eyes was open and he was reading, and it was choreographed and just to get the response that it was supposed to get. This is the problem with black religion and with Joseph Lowry. He's not a pastor. He's not a real Christian pastor, nor is he even a Christian. And while the world was watching, he had an opportunity to, as one writer said, to lift up Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, that inaugural process was not a Christian one. It was a secular one, and we must realize that. Thanks, Mark, for joining me for the webcast tonight. I've received so many articles, but here's one. And I've read some articles by Coach Dave Dobenmeyer before. And this was written today, January 22nd, 2009. You can pick it up with newswithviews.com. He starts off and he says, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children in the womb, red and yellow, black and white, even though they're out of sight. Jesus loves the little children in the womb. Now, I like what Coach does. Instead of him addressing Lowry's stupidity, he comes to the point of the issue.
Yes.
We have a president. We have some people that are avoiding the real issues. He says, that is a jingle that I sang as I stood in the street of Washington last week. A group of us made the group to the Capitol to raise awareness of the Black Holocaust that is taking place in America. We felt that it was especially relevant since America had recently elected its first black president. We were convinced that most black Christians were unaware of President Obama's radical position in abortion. Now, let me share, as I pause right here, what this radical position that he has on abortion is. And so that all of us will get the agenda right. Now, listen, I'm just going to say this right now, and I'm going to say it at the beginning of this webcast. If you differ with the facts of the stats that I'm giving, and if you also differ with me giving it because you don't like what I'm saying, there is a very good possibility that you yourself is not a Christian, that you are a religious person holding to religious ideas. And I just have some very fortunate news for you. You are not getting to heaven on those irreligious ideas. I believe that what we should do is to correspond with the Word of God. Now, someone sent me an email, and the email said, John, for your information. And I really appreciate that, because Thursday is when we do our webcast. It says that Obama acts quickly. He lays out his abortion and gay agenda. One of the first moves pushes social issues to the top. Now, we know that our new president supports stem cell research. President Obama and Vice President Biden believe that we owe it to the American public to explore the potential of stem cells to treat the millions of people suffering from debilitating and life-threatening diseases. Now, let me say this again, and I'm going to say it as a Christian. There has been people that have been having debilitating and life-threatening diseases for hundreds of years in this country and has been dying. They are going to die, continue to die. Disease is going to take them out because man has fallen. Now, I don't believe that this is heaven on earth. But when you believe in that kind of stuff, you would even use this. It says Obama is a co-sponsor of the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act of 2007, which will allow research of human embryonic stem cells derived from embryos donated with consent from in vitro fertilization clinics. The article goes on and says that these embryos must be deemed in excess. I don't want to lose my place, but I think that I just did. Created based opposing the. I hate this thing. Wait a minute. Let me do it right, because when I went down, I lost. Here we go. Oh.
Well, in the meantime, when you want to write to Pastor John and send him a letter about today's show or anything you might want to complain about or tell him that he did a good job on, it is intotheword1@ca.rr.com.
It is.
intotheword1@ca.rr.com. Okay. He'll take all your letters, any complaint. He'll take all your conversation, just put it that way.
Indeed, I will. I found it when I hit the deal, my little dial took me down too far. It says these embryos must be deemed in excess and created based solely upon the purpose of fertility treatment. All right. Now, this is also something that your new president pushes, reproductive choice. Now, that's what they call it now, but it's called abortion. Reproductive choice is abortion. Christians do not push that agenda. That means that he supports a woman's right to choose. To choose what? To choose to end the pregnancy anytime she wants to. President Obama understands that abortion is a divisive issue, and he respects those who disagree with him. Persons like me, and I respect him too. That's cool. Okay. However, he has been a consistent champion of reproductive choice and will make preserving women's rights under Roe versus Wade a priority in his administration. In other words, he's going to push it with a fervency. Now, there again, he's not a Christian. I don't know why you Christians have a problem with that. You know what you Christians need to do is just make sure that you're not aborting your fetuses. Now, these heathens that you live next door to, down the street from, around the corner from, go to work with, okay, go shopping in the supermarket with, leave them alone. God will judge them. Doesn't need you to judge him. Doesn't need me to judge him. He, Mr. Obama, opposes any constitutional amendment to overturn the Supreme Court's decision in that case. Okay. And Mark, the people of America voted for this man to put him in office. You see, this is,
yes.
He is the people's choice. I don't have a problem with the people putting him in. They asked for a king type figure, and they got one.
Yes.
And so, but this is, we're just talking about what he believes, because I'm trying to, you know, finalize something that you can't be a Christian and agree with these two things. Now, preventing unintended pregnancy, what does Obama believe about that? President Obama was an original co-signer of legislation to expand access, listen, to contraception, health information, preventive services to help reduce unintended pregnancies. Now, you may be saying, well, what's wrong with that? Well, you know what? That usually has to do with minority peoples in large inner city places. And what he's doing is he is pushing the programs that allows children to be fixed and not to report to their parents. This is a social agenda when you're trying to put the whole country under this particular act. Let me give you further on that. Now, how this acts, it'll increase funding for family planning and comprehensive sex education that teaches both abstinence and safe sex methods. Now, we as Christians, of course, we disagree with that. So I would tell you Christians to teach your children the Christian way in the midst of a nation that doesn't adapt the Christian way. I wouldn't hate Obama for what he's doing. I wouldn't hate him for his belief system, but that's what his belief system is. We're trying to answer the question, is our president a Christian? No, not in the sense of a biblical Christian. He would be called the world's Christian, and I don't hate him. As a matter of fact, I disagree with him, as he says. There would be people that disagree with him. I disagree with him, but he has a right to say it. Now, this act will also end insurance discrimination against contraception, and it will improve awareness about emergency contraception and provide compassionate assistance to rape victims. Now, it appears at first glance that, well, what's wrong with that? You know what? If y'all want to go around there and screw around with each other and need the contraception, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bible tells us Christians that we can't do that. It's just simple as that. You know, somebody asked me, well, John, would you do it? And I said, well, in my flesh, I'd probably want it fool around like that, but am I going to do it? No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because the Bible says not to. Now, someone may say, well, John, well, you a fool, man. No, hey, I'm going on 65 years old. I've been reading this book a long time, people. And you know what? You can call me a fool all you want to. He's kept me all these years. You think I'm going to not allow his word to continuously keep me? You the fool. Whose fool are you? Also, your president, your new president, supports the homosexual community. Here's a quote by Barack Obama on June 1st, 2007. He says, while we have come a long way since the Stonewall riots in 1969, we still have a lot of work to do. Too often, the issue of LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite rights, is exploited by those seeking to divide us. Wait a minute. Now, see, you Christians got to pay attention to this statement right here. Are you seeking to divide those people? Because I'm not. I have said, Mark Ramsey, on my website and in my webcast, who cares about these people?
Yes.
If they want to do that, if they want to live, if they want to do this, go ahead, let them have their gay parade. The Christians ought to have their Jesus parade.
Right.
This is a pluralistic America. America is not a Christian, what is it? America is not a Christian theocracy down here on this planet. God did not. I want you people to listen to me. God did not choose from seed to shine and seed to be a bastion of Bible-believing people. When the Americans came over here to this country, were the Indians Bible-believing people?
No.
Were the Mexicans that owned half of this country Bible-believing people?
No.
None of them was. Were the Indians from the Eskimos up and around, were they? No. As a matter of fact, only a handful of people coming over here could read. Because most of the people, when they came over here in the late 1600s, were illiterate folk running from the devastations of Europe. Now, we need to do our education right. So I don't know why anybody would even think that America is this. Well, and so Obama's statement about those seeking to divide us usually is talking about the evangelical zealots, which look a little crazy when they're trying to make the whole country Christian. This country's never been Christian. And, you know, I've heard since the transition period, all this talk about Ronald Reagan and all this kind of stuff. You know what? I live in Hollywood. I live in Hollyweird. And don't be coming to me with no Ronald Reagan. Don't come to me with any of them. Only come to me with Jesus. Somebody was asking the question, Mark, how is the Republican Party going to get it back? Man, get what back? When this thing is over, there won't be anything reminiscent of the America that we grew up in when I was a child. Obama goes on and says, but at its core, this issue is about who we are as Americans. Now, he's right. Because there are Americans that are gay and there are Americans that are straight.
Yes.
Now, that's who we are. You may not like it, Christians. You may not like it. But the president's right. It's about whether this nation is going to live up to its founding promise of equality by treating all of its citizens with dignity and respect. Now, you Christians got to respond to this because I've been saying that. Are you supposed to treat a homosexual with dignity and respect, though the act that they are involved in biblically is called an abomination? The answer is yes. You are to treat them with dignity and respect. That would be like you invited for dinner at somebody's house and they're serving you quiche and broccoli and cauliflower. I think I could eat the quiche, but the cauliflower and the asparagus, I would eat the broccoli, but the cauliflower and the asparagus, I wouldn't eat. Now, just because I wouldn't eat the cauliflower and the asparagus, what would you say about me? See. Expanded hate crime statutes in 2004. Obama had something to do with that too, your president. Listen to this. In 2004, crimes against the LGBT Americans constituted the third highest category of hate crimes reported and made up more than 15% of such crimes. Now, anybody hear me? In the year 2004, 15% of the hate crimes was against gay people. That means straight people was tying them to gates and fences and killing them. You remember that white boy that was in Wyoming or something? They tied him up to the fence and
beat
him to death and all that kind of stuff.
Terrible way to go. Yeah,
terrible way. Now,
for anybody.
For anybody. Now, would a Christian affirm that? Y'all better be careful. This is Obama writing. He says President Obama co-sponsored legislation that would expand federal jurisdiction to include violent hate crimes perpetrated because of race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or physical disability. As a state senator, President Obama passed tough legislation that made hate crimes and conspiracy to commit them against the law. Now, I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. What's wrong with that? Because you as a Christian ain't got no business doing none of that to nobody. Now, I'm assuming that a Christian sent me this blah. Thank you for sending it to me, but you haven't told me. He hasn't done anything wrong here. And as a matter of fact, that would be a hate crime against me. I have a right to do this webcast, and even the people that don't agree with my Christianity, Obama in 2004 expanded the hate crime statutes that if anybody messed with Pastor John because of what he's saying. And you know what? Christians need to listen to me, and I want you to listen good. If President Obama heard this webcast, he would say, John is right. He would say, John is right. And then he would say, though I disagree with him about abortion and stuff like that, but John is right. Because he's a smart, intelligent man. No, I have nothing against him. And I don't hate him. Now, here's a question for you Christians out there. You born again. I don't know what kind of born again nation that is. Are you that? Or are you the haters? All right. Here's something else. He fights workplace discrimination. Now, these to me seem like good things. Listen to what it says. President Obama supports the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and believes that our anti-discrimination employment laws should be expanded to include sexual orientation, gender identity. Now, let me let you know what that means. In other words, if you run in a company and somebody comes there and is gay and can do the job and it's your company, Obama wants to push some law to tell you who to hire. Now, I disagree with that because I should be able to hire who I want to in my own company.
You would think that the person that owns the company can hire and fire who they want.
But if the company is a government company, if the company is a company run by the state or the city of the jurisdiction outside of private ownership. If it's paid with taxpayers' money and the homosexual and the transvestites are a part of the community that pays the taxes, you got to give them a job. See what I'm talking about?
Okay.
But if the company is yours, it's like if I was running a Mexican restaurant where we served authentic Mexican food. I got people playing Mexican music. I got Mexicans in the kitchen cooking. I got Mexicans serving everything. You got to be a Mexican or a Mexican-American working in this restaurant called Viva La Mexico, Eat 'em Up. Shop number one. Now, nothing but Mexicans. You got to talk Spanish and broken English when you serve the food, and it's my company. Now, what if a homosexual Mexican come in there? If a homosexual Mexican come in there, and I'm a Christian, and I say, well, I am a Christian, and this is my restaurant, and I don't hire homosexuals because I think that that is a deviant lifestyle, and I will not have it. Now, Obama's going to work against me, and that's where the president is